From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. CBS News reports that President Joe Biden announced September 9th a vaccine mandate for all federal workers and contractors and a requirement that large companies mandate vaccines or regular testing for employees. It comes as the country faces mounting coronavirus case numbers and many more deaths. Biden spoke from the White House.
Even as the Delta variant COVID-19 has been hitting this country hard, we have the tools to combat the virus. If we can come together as a country and use those tools, if we raise our vaccination rate, protect ourselves and others with masking, expanded testing, and identify people who are infected, we can and we will turn the tide on COVID-19.
The Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration is developing rules requiring employers with at least 100 employees to have a fully vaccinated workforce or require unvaccinated workers to get tested for COVID-19 at least once a week, with fines of $14,000 per violation. The Republican National Committee announced plans to file a lawsuit against the Biden administration over the issue. RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel said, and I quote, "I'm pro-vaccine and anti-mandate. Many small businesses and workers do not have the money or legal resources to fight Biden's unconstitutional actions and authoritarian decrees. But when his decree goes into effect, the RNC will sue the administration to protect Americans and their liberties," end quote. The American Federation of Government Employees Union did not endorse the plan, saying they wanted a say in the decision. AFGE President Everett Kelly said that, and I quote, "Changes like this should be negotiated with our bargaining units where appropriate," end quote. So far, 650,000 Americans have died from COVID-19, and vaccinations are needed. When 3,000 Americans died on September 11, 2001, citizens immediately let the government impose all sorts of airport mandates. And you can read the full story at CBS News. Melanie Lekasevic is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Athens Town Board Tuesday, September 7th, deadlocked 2-2 on a vote that would have reversed a five-year-old decision to hand management of the Athens Community Center from the village to the town. One board member was absent and did not vote. The meeting drew a near-capacity crowd of village residents that generally opposed the change. Town Supervisor Robert Butler and board member Mary Brandow voted against the resolution, with board members Michael Regani and Shannon Spinner voting for it. Board member Anthony Pulch was not present. Butler said a second vote will be taken on September 20th when everyone will be present. He said, and I quote, "We'll have to do it again when our fifth member is here," end quote. The building that houses the Athens Community Center was the first but temporary home of Columbia Green Community College in 1969 before moving its campus to Greenport in 1974. For years, it has served as a community center, housing the town and village offices, as well as the town court, village police station, and a public gymnasium. The building is owned by the Coxsackie-Athens Central School District, but as long as it remains a community center under the current arrangement, the village is not responsible for it. According to a letter from the village board to the community, and I quote, "Currently the village maintains the community building and the town rents the space they use from the village. The building is in need of extensive renovation. Several years back, the town and village boards resolved to turn the building over to the town, which has the financial capability of performing the renovations," end quote. However, for a number of years, the town board has been considering moving the town offices to another location and constructing a new building, leaving the community center in the hands of the village. Village Mayor Amy Sarago said, and I quote, "From the village standpoint, obviously we want to move ahead with what was in place," end quote. She went on to say, and I quote, "When I first became a trustee, it was already past due to turn the building over. It was supposed to happen in late January 2019. I think the community is behind us sharing the building, rehabbing the building, making it what it could and should be," end quote. Sarago conceded the building needs a lot of repairs, but she said the two municipalities working together could handle it. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Leanne DeRosa is reporting for CBS 6 Albany. As students head back to school, social media timelines are being flooded with photos of children holding homemade posters that list their names, age, school, grade, teacher's name, interest, and more. Germantown Central School District School Resource Deputy Teddy Blank is warning parents to avoid the trend. Blank said, and I quote, "In the beginning, it seemed like a good idea. It's interactive. It gets a lot of likes and shares on the internet. But it also can get a lot of predators and people who are looking to benefit for themselves by using that simple information," end quote. He said concerns were raised with sharing information, not just from posting a student's photo. Blank strongly urges parents to avoid sharing details like name, date of birth, school information, or personal interest. He said to also make sure the photo does not show house numbers or street signs. Some of the details could lead to identity theft, password breaches, or in the worst case scenario, abduction or other safety concerns. Blank said, and I quote, "It could be used as a manipulation technique if a child is presented with those tidbits of information that could cause them to trust an unknown adult," end quote. Benjamin Yankson, an assistant professor at UAlbany's College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity, reminds parents to check the privacy policies and privacy settings on social media platforms. He said on some platforms, like Facebook, for example, if they still want to post pictures, they can choose who sees it. You can read the full story at CBS6Albany.com. Kate Lisa and Sam Rowdens are reporting for Johnson Newspaper Corp. that police have confirmed that attorney Kyle Vandewater, the former GOP 19th congressional district candidate, died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Town of Poughkeepsie police found Vandewater, 41, of Hyde Park, unconscious around 12:30 p.m. September 7th in the Poughkeepsie Rural Cemetery on South Avenue. Police performed CPR and other measures in an attempt to save his life until emergency medical crews arrived. He was taken by ambulance to Vassar Brothers Medical Center in Poughkeepsie, where he was pronounced dead later that day. Police failed to disclose further details. The matter remains under investigation by Poughkeepsie Police. U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado, Vandewater's opponent in the 2020 general election, expressed sadness about his death in a statement, and he shared resources for veterans in crisis. Delgado said, and I quote, "My heart breaks for Kyle and his beautiful family. We shared a number of conversations about family and country, and I walked away from each one knowing that he had a profound love for both. I know he will be immensely missed, and I am praying for all who loved him," end quote. A retired major in the U.S. Army, Vandewater went on active duty in 2006 and completed one tour in Afghanistan. He served as a judicial advocate in the Judge Advocate General's Corps. He leaves behind his wife, Melissa, and their four children, middle school-aged triplets, Thomas, Lincoln, and Annabella, and 8-year-old Levi. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.